I'm Deidre.
And I'm Chelsea.
And we're giving you
A Million Murders.
Hi.
We're back.
We are. That's right. We're back from our little hiatus. I forgot it's my episode, so I'll get all the mouth clicks out. I was like, ooh, edit that mouth click out. But I was like, oh, I'll get it. But yeah, y'all, we're back. We went on a trip together.
Yes. Oh.
To New Orleans. It was fun. It was fun,
great.
Fun.
Great girls trip.
Yes.
And we actually stayed.
Come on and tell it.
One of the most haunted hotels in New Orleans.
Yes.
And it was called
the Andrew Jackson Hotel.
And then our friend, Victoria, she's been on here a few times.
Yes.
Had to go Google while we was in the room. Or Victoria or Sierra, I can't remember which one it was.
It was Victoria.
Was it Victoria?
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, we'll keep the bathroom door closed. And that's all I'm saying. And we said,
She was like, do you want to know? And we're like, yes, yeah. Go ahead and tell it now that you've done told
we
us
said,
this.
You can't just be saying stuff like that, not explaining. But it ended up, what was it? A woman.
Yeah, there was a shadow figure that was seen in the bathroom, which honestly, you know, whenever Sierra was like, this is where we're staying, I was like, I knew it was haunted, but I didn't know which rooms. Because it was on our ghost tour.
Mm-hmm.
1 year when we went, but I didn't know what room. And then
Sierra's the one that Googled which was the most haunted room.
Right. And it was 208.
No, it was 204.
No, it was 208, and we were in 204.
Oh, I thought she said 204 was the most hauntedest room.
No, it was 208. And then, because it was 208, then 206, and then we were 204, so we were only, because the people stayed in 206, and all that stuff was happening, because they were like, we couldn't get in 208, so we're going to be in 206 and see if it'll work, and it was, and then we were in between the room that the like, investigators were in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it was like, I may just have to cover it. Did I not cover it? Maybe I have it. One of us will have to cover the Andrew Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But the building that's there now has been there since like 1888. Because it was on a little plaque in the front. And it's called the Andrew Jackson because Andrew Jackson actually did stay there during, mm-hmm. you know, a time of war. I don't remember if it was the War of 1812 or which war it was. But one of the wars, and he was there. And I mean, there's a statue, Jackson Square. Jesus.
Jackson Square.
Jackson Square is named after him, and they have a statue.
He's on a horse.
Mm-hmm. On the horse in the middle of the
square.
But yes, so we did all of that.
If you've never been to New Orleans, you should definitely go.
Definitely, definitely go. But if you are a stickler for like cleanliness and like a clean city, I will say it was cleaner now than it was back when I used to go, but sometimes that's off-putting for people. Watch out for the puddles. But anyway, we didn't really experience anything haunted, but then I think I did though. And I didn't realize it.
It could have been. Yeah, we didn't realize it because there was a story on that.
Yeah. So they said that the kids, because there was like a fire and there was an orphanage that used to be there. And they said that the kids would run like back and forth in the hall. Like you can hear that. Like somebody's running back and forth in the hallway, but there would be nobody there. Well, the way our room was set up, you went up some stairs. And so there were only like
some.
A long flight of stairs.
Mount Everest stairs.
I can't. They were just very steep and narrow. Mm-hmm. So, like, trying to get your bags up there was a whole thing. But, the kids, so there were only like three rooms up there. And it was the middle of the night. And I just kept hearing like step, 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 step. And then it would be a step, 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 step. And so the first time it happened, I was like, oh, okay, somebody came up. Like they, I don't know. I was thinking maybe I was hearing like the staff closing those doors mm-hmm. for that breezeway. And then they were going back downstairs. And then it got so faint, I couldn't hear it. But then it happened like four more times, like doop, 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 doop. Like sets of like someone going back and forth and then it happening again. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what in the world is going on out there? But I bet it was the doggone ghost.
Because it was 3 a.m., wasn't it?
I don't remember what time it was, but if I don't know. If I'd known it was the witching hour, then I would have just turned over and went to sleep. But I was so confused because I'm like, what is going on out there? And I was like, anyway. But yeah, so potential haunting. I don't know. But I don't know who else would walk around.
Because we didn't get up to look.
Laura, no.
She's like, I ain't.
But I was watching the, because there was like a crack in underneath the door. Like a space between the door and the floor.
Did you see a shadow?
No, I couldn't see anything. And that's when I was like, mm-mm. Well, I was like, what's going on? And I was like, it must be somebody around the corner. But mm-hmm. I don't know who would have been. Like, we never heard anything else the whole time we were there.
No.
We never heard a peep out of anybody else. So, I don't know. I don't know, y'all. And then we saw some ghost hunters downstairs. Victoria and I did. And they were catching stuff or something. I said, all right. He was like, you can join us if you want. We were like, oh, okay. And we went upstairs. I was like, nah. I'm not trying to be a part of this ghost hunt of our hotel. And then they're like, oh, they stay in here. The rest of them left. Nope. So, anyway. Well, that's just to catch you up on us. We're still going to be doing bi-weekly episodes. So we're not back to weekly yet, but we're hoping to do that for you guys
soon.
Yeah. At least by our anniversary.
Yeah. 3 years.
3 years. We started this in, we started in 2021, didn't we? Yeah.
3 years.
That's crazy. Yeah. So July 7th, 3 years. For us. But yeah, so for today, I figured I would do this second part of the Ghost Inside My Child episode that the little boy who, the Titanic kid, mm-hmm. this was the other kid on that episode, but I just haven't aired it yet or done it. Right. So I figured I would do that. Mm-hmm. Another Ghost Inside My Child story. So, this story takes place in Payson, Arizona, which is a small town that's about an hour and a half north of Phoenix. And Heather and Daryl, oh, I remember this one. See, it's been so long since I did it, I forgot. And I'm like, oh, I remember. So, Heather and Daryl are artists in the area with three children, a 22-year-old who was unnamed but is a medic in the Army. And their two younger children are Talia and Cirrus. Talia was born in 2002, and once she was born, her and Daryl connected very quickly. So they were always just very close. And he said she was the happiest baby he had ever seen. She never cried, and said happiness was her natural state of being. Like, mm-hmm. she was just always in a good mood. Mm-hmm. Like, she never, you know, but they always say this about these babies. Like. What, to never cry and be happy all the time?
Yeah, always be in a good mood.
Mm. Well, you know, when you're a baby, as long as you're well taken care of, I mean, you have no reason to be sad. You know, I mean, if I was getting fed and, you know, taken care of, I'd be happy too.
Yeah.
Don't have to work. Don't even have to talk to anybody.
Take, Daddy, won't you take me back to birth? 1997.
I can't. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, so, Talia is, like, super chill baby. Very exceptional child. Potty training, walking, talking early, which, you know, this is the MO of the children mm-hmm. with the, you know, with the past lives, right? So, they moved to Costa Rica in 2003 and opened a sandwich shop on the beach. When she was about three, Talia, She was sitting in the corner crying one day. So, you know, this is not her MO. Mm-hmm. And she seemed in a distant place. And when her dad, Daryl, asked what was wrong, she said, "The poor old lady, I can't help her and she's dying and needs help." Mm. So already from the jump, like, here we go. They weren't sure who she was talking about, as she wasn't around an older lady. Like, there were no elderly people around her. And she said, you know, she's talking about this lady. And she would have these crying episodes every day for about 6 weeks or so. Yeah. Like,
that's a lot of crying.
Yeah. Especially for a kid her age. Mm-hmm. Like, she was still pretty little. Yeah, she was about three years old. Like, that's a big deal. So one of Talia's personality traits has always been very caring, you know, to be a caring and sensitive kid, mm-hmm. and also to the suffering of other people.
Right.
One child in her class had a splinter, and she felt like there needed to be a kit for situations like this. Mm. So Talia grabbed iodine, tweezers, and other things and made her little kit in the back of a beach chair and, like, brought it, you know, like, she was like, we need to have this. And so she packed up and made a little kit.
Yeah.
For him, yeah. For this kid or something. And a week or so later, Daryl was working on the washing machine and he'd cut his hand, and Talia heard him say, "Ouch, I cut myself." And before he knew it, she came running in with the little kit and proceeded to clean his wound and bandage him up correctly. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, I don't know, you know, how does a little kid know how to do that?
Right.
Yeah, so, one night, while sweeping the floor, he sees Talia looking out over the garden, but she hasn't moved an inch in a few minutes. He went over to check on her, and she said, oh, and he went over to check on her, and she had that distant stare again. Then she looked up and said, "Do you remember when we were Japanese?"
Oh.
Yeah. He was shocked, but his first thought was that this probably has something to do with, you know, the old lady. He's like, okay, where is this coming from? So he asked her what she remembered, and she replied, "That's why I'm sad right now, because I'm thinking of the little girl." When he asked what little girl, she said, "The one that died. Do you remember? The one who worked and worked and worked and then she died? That was sad." Mm. Like, do what? Okay, so here we go. Mm-mm. I can't even imagine. And Heather mentions, the mom, mentions how unusual it seemed because obviously Talia wasn't around children who were working. And she definitely wasn't around a child who was sick and passed away. So, like,
yeah,
the math isn't mathing.
Right.
You know, Daryl, you know, would try to comfort her after hearing her mention the little girl, saying that he was sure she was in a better place now. And Talia replied she knew she was, but it just made her sad. She's better now and she's not tired anymore. Okay.
She's not tired anymore.
Yes. Daryl said her sentences were spoken more like an adult than a child, almost as if she was reporting on something like an older person would, recalling a memory.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Now, the village they were living in was a very remote village. They didn't even have a TV. She was never exposed to Japanese culture. They moved the family out of Costa Rica into San Jose, California, to try to make more money with their paintings. One day, Daryl was painting on newspapers just to decompress, and Talia asked if she could try to paint. She was around 4 at the time, and Daryl put ink. So this isn't that part about San Jose. That hasn't happened yet. That happens when she's 6. But, you know, at that point, she had no connection to Japanese culture mm-hmm. whatsoever.
Right.
So, yeah, so they're painting. She was around 4. And so Daryl put ink on the brush and gave it to her. She then started drawing a symbol. She drew 2 perfect Japanese symbols. When Daryl looked up the symbols, they meant home and love. Not home in a house sense, but home in a family sense. Mm. So, like, you know, she'd always had the ability to write letters. Like, she was practically born with it. But the Japanese characters were a new thing. So, like, she was already writing, you know, she was already exceeding and excelling in those areas in English. But then, you know, these Japanese characters are coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And Daryl, you know, was actually decompressing that day from the stress of trying to provide for his family and things not going the way they wanted at the moment. Then Talia came in and drew those symbols as if to tell him everything's going to be okay because we love each other and we're a family.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Whenever they said that she wrote in Japanese, that shook me because I'm like, okay, how can you explain this?
Right.
You know?
It was perfectly written.
Yeah, perfectly written. You know. So, it's just wild. And later, they moved from Costa Rica back to the States when Talia was about 6. And they bought a house when they returned and picked this house due to an outside room that they could use as a studio. One day, Talia comes into the studio and asks, "Hey, Daddy, remember when I told you about us being Japanese?" He replied, "Of course, how could I forget?" Like,
yeah.
Yeah, literally, like, he could never forget that. She said something else had popped into her head and drew a pattern that looked like a leaf with a circle in the middle of it. Daryl thought it could possibly be a family crest of some sort. So Daryl started searching online and learned Carmens are, I think that's how you say it. It may be Carmons, but Carmens or Carmons are a Japanese family crests.
Hmm.
So like, you know, when you see people from like Scotland or Ireland and they've got that crest with, you know, yeah, each family has a crest. Well, mm-hmm, in Japanese culture, they have those and those are called Kamens. So Daryl started searching online and, you know, learned about these Kamens and found ones similar to the ones that she drew, but most of the sites were in Japanese, so he couldn't find much information on the drawing. He was wondering about all the traits his daughter was portraying, the love of medicine, being sensitive to others, seeing the older woman and the little girl, and the symbol of the family crest, mm-hmm, and wondered if, you know, all of these were connected. Yeah. So soon, they would learn Talia had a fear of skyscrapers or larger buildings. They took her to an aviation museum one day, and as soon as she entered, she started crying and shaking, saying that the building was going to fall down.
Ooh.
Yeah, so they're like, okay, don't know what this is about. Well, and a few days later, she was with Daryl while he was watching a documentary about, you know, the making of the atomic bomb,
mm-hmm,
and she was glued to the TV, never spoke a word, the entire documentary. And this is like a 6-year-old. So, you know, usually they're like, I want some. I'm hungry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're going to.
Constantly.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Wanting something.
And she was completely quiet. And, you know, it's probably like a 2-hour documentary.
Mm.
And so I guess it got him thinking. And he was like, do you feel like you were Japanese at the end of World War II when the nuclear bombs went off?
Yeah.
And she thought about it for a few seconds, and then she grabbed his shoulders and started shaking him and was like, that makes sense. It was like she almost couldn't put it together,
right,
without help because she had these memories, but she couldn't
understand why.
Yeah, or she what was, she was, you know, experiencing. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, at this point in the episode, Talia is now speaking in the episode. And she said, and you know, she wasn't that old. So, like, it must have still been pretty fresh, mm-hmm, whenever they got on the show. But she was saying that she was interested in learning other things, you know, about herself so she could be normal and move on. So she wouldn't have these extra memories and, mm-hmm, see these ghosts of people.
Yeah.
So the family during this episode is still trying to figure out who she was in a past life, and they traveled to L.A. to speak with a Japanese expert in Kamens. The expert was fascinated when she saw the crest Talia drew and said it was a symbol for the holly tree, which is very sacred in Japan. The expert then gives a list of family names that use the holly tree Kamen to this day to see if any sound familiar. Talia had a gut feeling the last name Kasana seemed familiar.
Mm.
Okay. So the expert said some of this family lived near Kyoto in Tottori, and that a very well-documented group of medics and nurses that were sent from Tottori into Hiroshima, or Hiroshima, however you want to pronounce it, to take care of people after the atomic bomb, and buildings were falling down around them. So, like, they went to, which I mean, listen, the atomic bomb was so catastrophic. I mean, people were just disintegrate. Like, I mean, it was insane, yeah. You know, like, depending on how close you were to, you know, where the bomb was detonated. And, I can't imagine being like a nurse or like a first responder and having to go in to that area. And these buildings are just like staying up for now, but then they start falling. Mm-hmm. So like you're having to save yourself while you're trying to save other people,
right?
Or keep yourself safe. I mean, it's just
a lot.
Yeah. I can't even, I can't imagine. But Talia thinks the things she learned that day will help her connect her past to her future. So this one is actually ends. We won't know what happens.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So their story ends with the family wanting to travel to Japan to find her past life family to give her closure.
Huh. That's yes. Cool.
Yeah. So they're going to, you know, they're going to go and they're going to try to figure it out. But
that'd be neat if they found them.
Yes. But yeah, so hopefully they find out some information. But unfortunately, this is where the story ends for us.
That sucks.
I know. But how wild is it?
That is wild.
It's the Japanese symbol for me. Mm-hmm. I'm shook.
Shooketh to the core.
Yes. So.
I liked it. It was good. I bet Myra will appreciate it. She loves these ones.
Yes. But I mean, it sounds like this was, she was a medic or some sort of nurse. I mean, getting the kit together when she was a kid.
Yeah.
And then knowing how to like triage her dad's cut, if you can even call it triaging. I don't know if that's for big injuries or if that's for like a cut too. I don't know. But anyway, you know, how would she even know to get iodine? Like, what kid knows about iodine? I mean, you know, a Band-Aid? Yes.
But not iodine?
And also, I feel like iodine is so old school. Like, you would just get Neosporin now. And, like, maybe some peroxide or rubbing alcohol. But, like, iodine?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. But anyway.
It was good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Come again.
So, let's see. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, stories of your own, Becky, I need you to do that listener tale. We don't work together anymore, so I need you to get on it. Becky, she's like our biggest marketer that I used to work with. She would always tell people about, like, I wouldn't tell people at work about the podcast all the time because I just didn't think about it. And she'd be like, she has a podcast with her friend Chelsea, A Million Murders. Like, she was always like, she is literally on our marketing team. Yeah. But Becky has stories. Like, she sees her grandmother and everything.
Send them in, girl.
Or she's heard her grandmother. But yeah, so I keep telling her. So Becky, send them in. And anyone else who has any stories, send them in as well. And you can do that by emailing us, PDF, email, whatever, at amillionmurders@gmail.com.
And you can hop on our Instagram and look at the pictures of the people, places, things that we cover. Mm-hmm. There won't be a lot. Like, all the episodes won't have pictures because, like, if we do Reddits or, like, this ghost stuff, you know. But you can also, we have a page and, we have a page on Facebook you can check out.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have an email, you can comment, you know, questions there. And we will help as best we can.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you all for tuning in.
And we hope you come back for
a million more.
Bye.
Ooh, that was like right on pitch together.
Oh, I was like, I thought it sounded good.
Yeah.